Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we're intentional about stopping to reflect upon the readings that are appointed for this day. I pray that as you hear God's word, you would be intentional about stopping to hear and to reflect upon God's word and allow it to come into your life. Allow God's word to sink in, and I pray that the Spirit would work through these words, that they would continue to speak to us even in our world today. Now let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now, the second reading that's appointed for this day comes from Paul's letter to the Church of Rome, the 7th chapter. Paul writes, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But if in fact it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me, for I know that the good does not dwell within me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do the good lies close at hand, but not the ability. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of the God in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched person that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord. This weekend, depending on when you see it, our country has celebrated its 250th birthday. We have this July 4th where we remember Independence Day, and there's talk of freedom and this country being the land of the free, the land of the brave, the land of liberty. And as I thought about all of those themes, it's interesting, our lesson today comes from Paul, and it really doesn't talk about freedom and liberty, but the exact opposite. In some ways, this reading stands as sort of a very anti-American kind of reading. It tells us that we're in bondage, that we're captive to sin, not just sin in those little things that we do, but sin in that broad sense of what comes over us. Paul writes of his struggle. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. The good that I want to do, I cannot do, but that which I do not want to do, that is what I do. Paul struggling with the sense of his own behavior. In some ways, you know, as I thought about our country and Independence Day, right, we have this sense of we can do whatever we want and the freedom to be able to express ourselves and all this kind of stuff. And Paul here is writing, saying the exact opposite, that he finds himself not free, but captive to his own sinful self. Now, if we try to understand Paul, and people have written a lot about this, is Paul speaking of himself, you know, autobiographical? Is he speaking in general terms or what? I'm not sure it matters quite as much. What Paul's doing, and we can't just sort of just go, oh, here, and understand the whole thing. Paul's letter to the Church of Rome is one long theological argument. Paul's writing to lay out his understanding of the gospel. And this is a part of that. To understand this piece, you have to understand the big picture. Paul's theme for his letter to the Church of Rome comes in the first chapter, verses 16 and 17, where he writes this. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is God's saving power for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and also for the Gentile." Right? And then he goes on and says, "For it is the righteousness of God that's revealed through faith for faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith." Paul's saying, the gospel, the story of Jesus Christ, is the good news that sets us free. Paul is unashamed. He's not bashful to say there's power in the gospel. There's power in this good news. And that power is to set us free. That power is to make us righteous. Now, when we hear righteous or righteousness, right? "For it is the righteousness of God. The righteous shall live by faith." When we hear righteous, we think of a lot of times people who do that which is moral, right? The people who live the way they're supposed to. Righteousness in Greek comes from a Hebrew word that really is primarily relational, not just moral. It's not about, did I do exactly the right thing? Did I obey the law? But righteousness means being put back in the proper relationship with God. Being made righteous is being set right with God. It's relational. And Paul is saying the good news, the story of Jesus, Jesus' death comes to set us free, to put us in that right relationship with God. And the struggle is that sometimes we don't always do what we're supposed to do. And that's where Paul is writing here in this seventh chapter. He's acknowledging that struggle. He says, I don't do the things I want to do. It's this sin, not just the individual acts, but sin in general, that abstract concept that keeps me from being connected to God in the way that I want to be connected to God. It's that sense of being captive to sin. Like we say in our confession at the beginning of the service, "For we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves." Paul is saying, I can't free myself. I can't do this on my own. Which is why in some ways I find it interesting, because that runs counter. In some ways we see the American story as, I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I can do this on my own, right? By sure will and determination, we can set things right. And Paul says, no, we can't. That which I want to do, I cannot do. That which I don't want to do, that is what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Right? Paul acknowledges, wait, no, I am a wretched man. Oh, woe is me. Martin Luther said the same kind of thing. You know, he called himself a worm. He was impacted by what he called Anfechtung, a sense of internal strife, of knowing, can I be good enough? And Luther said, no. Right? Sometimes we think, if we just follow the Ten Commandments, if we just go to church every Sunday, if we just do X, Y, Z, we'll be good enough and we'll be made righteous. Paul says, no, that's an invalid argument. We can't do this of ourselves. When we come to worship, and as we confess our sins, it's not our confession that enables the pastor to say, you have been forgiven your sins. We confess not to earn God's goodness and mercy. We confess because we have failed God. And it's only God who says, because of what he has done, because of God's action, because of God's righteousness, he sends his son Jesus to come to give his life. And it's because of Jesus' actions, then the pastor can say, by the power of God, you've been set free. Your sins are forgiven. You have been restored. You are declared righteous. Or if we think about when we come to worship and we celebrate Holy Communion, we come to the table not because we've confessed our sins, not because we've heard the word, not because of anything we've done. We come to the table in our unworthiness. And it's in that unworthiness that God says, here is this gift for you. Here is a gift that you can't earn, you can't merit, you can't do anything to deserve it, but you're given this gift free of charge so that you would know of God's love for you and you would be made righteous. Even when we can't do the things we want to do, God still says, here, here is my body, here is my blood, here is my son that gave himself for you so that you could be made righteous. You could be put back in relationship with God. And it's nothing that we do, but it's only the work of Jesus. Because he ends with this. When he says, what wretched person I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? He responds, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our freedom, our being made righteous, our being back in relationship with God comes not by our own effort or our mercy or our work or how good we strive to be. It comes about only because of the grace of God, by the work of Jesus in his death on the cross, because of the good news. Where Paul begins and he says, here, this is what the people need to hear. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is God's saving power for everyone who believes. First for the Jew, and then for the Gentile. For all the world. God's saving power that says to us, we are made righteous and we are God's children. Amen. Let us pray. Faithful and compassionate God, you know the struggles we carry within ourselves. You see the gap between what we long to do and what we actually do. When we are discouraged by our failures, remind us that your grace is greater than our shortcomings. When we become weary in the battle against sin, strengthen us with your spirit and renew our hope. Free us from all that keeps us captive. Shape our hearts to delight in your ways. Grant us courage to confess our need, humility to receive your mercy, and trust to rest in the saving work of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Lead us from frustration into hope, from guilt into forgiveness, from fear into freedom of your beloved children. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. And now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.